Hey, it's Ken Wattmore with 1615 TV. Thanks for tuning in again to PowerPlayersRadio.com. Today we're going to listen to an interview with Dr. David Cook. We've been blessed as a ministry to start this journey with David and produce a film, Golf's Sacred Journey, The Seven Wings of Utopia, based on the book of the same name that he wrote. And right now we're in the midst of a Bible study series that is derived from the book and certainly comes from Scripture. And David is leading that group of men at Cherry Hills Country Club. You know, interesting, this was started out as a Bible study that was going to be entertaining probably 30 to 35 guys. And the first week it was about 180, the second week 200, and now it's up to about 230 guys. And it's just an amazing, amazing study. So we'll join with David and go through this series quite a bit over the next 12 weeks left now. And we had an opportunity to catch up with David on the 18th hole at Cherry Hills Country Club after week number two, and talk to him a little bit about where he's from, how this book came to be, and where it goes from here. So tune in and listen in. We'll look forward to hearing from you. I'd love to get some commentary on this particular interview. Email me at ken@1615.tv. And thanks again for listening to PowerPlayersRadio.com. Hey, it's Ken Wattmore with Power Players Radio and 1650. I'm standing here with Dr. David Cook. David, how are you?
I'm doing great today. It's good to be here with you.
Hey, it's good to have you here. Thanks for joining me out here. And we're at the Cherry Hills Country Club, beautiful golf course, great backdrop for what we're doing here. I want to start asking you a couple questions. And first one is going to be about David Cook. I want to know a little bit about how you got in the field of sports psychology, where you came from. And I mean, how does a guy pick that as a career path?
You know, I just had questions when I was a kid. I wanted to fulfill my fullest ability, and I saw other people that wanted to do that too. But there was something about game day that sort of undid people, including myself sometimes and others. And I wanted to know, how can you be your best when it means the most? And so it sent me on this challenge to find the answer to that throughout my life. And I got a degree in coaching, didn't have the answer, but heard of this field called sports psychology that really got my attention. So I went to begin to explore what this field was about, went to University of Virginia, studied a guy named Bob Rotella, who now is the foremost sports psychologist in the world, and I found the answers I was looking for, and it was fascinating. What was interesting is that I had the opportunity to go to graduate school either in seminary or in sports psychology, and I felt directly led by the Lord to go into sports psychology, which was kind of confusing at that time, but I understand now why, because He wants to use our platforms to open the door to people, and a pastor can reach some groups, and I can reach different groups, and God is using me that way. It's a blast.
Well, now, coming out of college, you said University of Virginia?
Yeah, graduate school at University of Virginia.
Okay, when you got out of there, how did you get in your first job as a sports psychologist? What was that?
I went to a conference where there were people from different universities looking for people in sports psychology. It was a new field. The University of Kansas came through and invited me up for an interview, and I got the job there. The day I walked in the door there, not only did I direct the sports psychology program in the graduate school, but I also worked with all the teams at KU. There were 18 different teams there when I got there. Larry Brown was the first guy that walked into my office and asked for help, so it was a pretty interesting beginning.
I bet. How was that working for Larry Brown?
Well, Larry is one of the nicest guys in the world off the course. On the court, he's a pretty tough character. But he had a group of guys there that were very talented but fairly selfish, and he wanted some help in how to bring them together. And so we worked on a program together. 3 years later, they win the national championship.
Awesome. Now, how do you go from that, to get into professional sports? Because I know that from there, you went to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah,
a gap between there?
I spent 12 years at the University of Kansas, and then we felt the Lord calling us out of this to really step in faith to see if we could do this full-time, where I speak to corporate groups, have professional clients, and to be able to do ministry on the side, and just to move away from the everyday pressure of the university, being involved in so many things that were administrative, to get out and really do 24 hours a day, not really 24 hours, but spend most of my day really working with people who want to get better. So we moved back to Texas. The Spurs hired me within a month of being there. God's timing to work with David Robinson in that group. The year I joined, they were the worst in the league. Next year, we got Tim Duncan. And 2 years later, we won the world championships. And so I got to see the building of a dynasty from the beginning and be a part of that. We ended up during my tenure there winning two world championships. I got to be with David Robinson his last 7 years of his career and Tim Duncan his first seven. And This is an amazing, amazing time. I started working with PGA Tour before that and players and all kinds of sports. And then what's really interesting is that the corporate world said, you know, we compete. We're competitors. We want to know what you're doing in sports psychology that will help us in the business world. So I've spent the last 20 years really speaking all over the world to corporate groups about doing your best when it means the most.
That's a great blessing to be able to do that. And I'm going to talk to you more about that in a second, but I do want to get back to one thing. Being from a team like the San Antonio Spurs, and you had pointed out that they were the worst and they came to be the best. Now, having a guy like David Robinson on that team, you know, from the fans' perspective, we look at him and we see a leader. And from a Christian's fans' perspective, I look at him and see a great spiritual leader on that team. What's the role a sports psychologist plays? Who's a believer in a setting like that where you've got a guy that everybody looks up to from the world standpoint? What's going on behind the scenes? And I don't mean specific situations, but what's happening with a guy like David Robinson leading the team, and how does that affect the team?
David Robinson, when I got there, was the MVP of the league. And but what happened in, I think it was 94, 95, was that when they got in the playoffs, he didn't have a very good playoff series both years. It was really Olajuwon 1 year and Malone the next year. Just had a bad series. And so the coaches were saying, you know, what can we do to help him be able to elevate his game in the playoffs? And so they thought, you know, maybe there's some mental training that might help or whatever. And so it was really cool the first time I met David. I knew he was a believer and that he loved the Lord. And I said, Dave, you know, God gave me this talent, this ability to help people be successful. But I want you to understand that the principles that I will use come straight out of the Bible. These are biblical principles, and I might be able to shed some light on some things to help you focus and concentrate a little differently, and when you're on the court, to be better at what you do with the God-given talents that you have. I'll throw out some ideas if you want to hear, and we'll just see where it goes. And he just smiled real big and says, when do we start? So just because you have talent doesn't mean that you can make it happen on game day. There's a lot of interference, there's a lot of pressures and things, and so one of the gifts that God gave me through this whole field of sports psychology is teach people how to use their mind. But also, don't just leave it there, but why, and help them understand that the biblical principles that God has given us really do that better than any sports psychology textbook. So it's when I got a guy like David Robinson, I'd go straight to the Bible instead of, you know, selling him short by just doing sports psychology.
Sure. Well, that's cool, and probably good that he has that the definition in, you know, within of grace and mercy, because he's a pretty big guy, and if you make him angry, you probably didn't want to do that.
David, I've never seen him angry. He is one of the most amazing men. I would say the greatest, you know, Christian athlete of all time, the real deal. He put $9 million of his own money into an inner city school for talented children, and leads men's Bible studies now, and raises his family, and loves the Lord. He's an amazing man, and he gives all the credit to God.
That's awesome. I've always looked up to him as a fan. All right, getting out of basketball now and going into golf, because that's the new deal right now. And what you got going on, you just wrote a book, Golf Sacred Journey, Seven Links of Utopia. I want to talk to you about that book. And, you know, we've got some affiliation there. We're going to be working on this movie together.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about where that book came from. And I know we just got out of a Bible study, truth be told, on the video, but let's go back over some of that stuff real quick. What made you think I'm going to write a book, first of all, and then why this book?
Well, I had no passion to write a textbook in sports psychology. But as a kid, I really loved to write. And I felt like God was moving in me through an experience I had at our ranch in Utopia, Texas, that I would write again someday. But I didn't know what it would look like. And so this gentleman started a little driving range in Utopia, Texas, which was a pretty pathetic sight when I got out there. And it's right next to a cemetery. And as I was standing there looking at this place, sort of chuckling about how bad it was, I really felt and sensed the Lord say, this is a spot, write the book. And later that day, I went home, opened my computer, and just took God at his word, began to just put my fingers on the computer and write with no outline, no beginning and end. This book just exploded out. And it was a novel, which I never thought that I would write. But it's based on a lot of fact, and the place, Utopia, is a real place. And so I was able to take all the athletes that I'd worked with through the years and create a character out of them, and the mentors and my my calling to mentor people, and made a character out of this guy and put them together in this book. And it was amazing how it came out. It all came out in this little town called Utopia, Texas. And when it was all said and done, I saw the pieces of my life coming together, because the first eight chapters of the book are a creative explanation of how to compete at your best when it means the most. And then the last three chapters talk about going beyond success. So what if you compete great? You know, what does that mean in the scheme of things? So I was allowed to really introduce the gospel and the transforming of this individual in the last part in a very sort of stealth manner or unobnoxious way, so that people that aren't Christians, that aren't believers, that love this game, pick that book up and read it, and they're not offended. In fact, they're moved. Their stake with the Lord has been moved along, and it's actually created a whole ministry and a movie. So I'm just I'm riding along in the wake of our Lord and watching this thing unfold, and it's blowing me away just like it is you guys. We're just watching God do amazing things with it. We have 185 guys. Well, I guess 200 just showed up today. We go a chapter a week doing this, and it's meaningful. People are getting something out of it more than just golf.
It is an amazing book, and it is cool to see all these guys show up for what you would call a Bible study, but it's kind of a follow along into a guy's life, and to watch him be transformed. And you are unashamed with the approach to the gospel in this book, and I really like that. And from a movie standpoint, where we're coming from, I mean, this movie has potential, you know, to really draw audiences from everywhere. And, you know, you look at old golf movies like Tin Cup and things like that, and they're major motion pictures, and they're big draw movies. You're talking about a big draw movie, a movie that can pull in millions and millions of people, and you do unabashedly share the gospel in this story. I mean, had you given any thought to that when you were thinking about the movie, or did the movie just come out of nowhere?
I think everybody that's on this movie has had a calling in their life to somehow take back territory that's been lost. And a great amount of territory has been lost in the media and in Hollywood. We just given it away. We assume that message is not a message of interest. I really believe that the way this book is written and the way the movie will unfold, it will draw people into the truth, and they will do the same thing with the movie they did with the book. They're not going to be overwhelmed by the message, but they're going to get it deeply. And we'll do it in such a way that there's just a lot of strength in the character, and the story is deep enough that I really believe it's going to take the attention of people and move them to a place they've never been before. So the book's broken all the rules. The way it's been published has broken all the rules. I think the way the movie's going to be made is going to be breaking rules, and the way it's distributed and goes out and who watches it. I think we're breaking all the rules. Because the Lord has a way, and His thoughts aren't our thoughts, and His ways aren't our ways, and we're just watching Him as He continues to do this. It's going to be an extraordinary adventure, you know, that all of us need to be journaling, because the story behind the movie, just as the story behind the book, is really the story of the Lord moving in people that trust Him, believe in Him, and that have taken Him at His word and are going on an adventure, and we definitely are doing that.
Awesome. Let me ask you just a couple more things, and then we'll be done for today. First of all, I want to identify where people can go to find out more about you and the book, and they can order books. What's the website for Golf Sacred Journey?
It's linksofutopia.com. Linksofutopia.com. Tell you an interesting thing is I gave that book away on our web when I first started, and then a pro golfer turned publisher sent me 1,000 books as a seed to this ministry. And said, I want you to sell these because I want to be able to put these in the hands of people. And so that day I started putting them out in singles. I left it for free. People could still read it for free, or they'd get it for singles. And the Lord said, put it out in packs of 10, because this is going to be a book that passes from man to man. And from that day till this day, we've sold more packs of 10s and packs of 25s than we have singles. And it's our distributor, or people that read it and say, you know what, I got 10 guys, I got 25 guys. Are people that I'm going to put this book in the hands of. And that's the way it's moved. 44,000 have gone across the country in a year and a half in packs of 10. And it's just been, again, God's way. No other book's doing that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to the bookstore and say, I want a pack of 10 of Harry Potter or whatever. But this is what God told us to do. Yeah. We've had like 8,000 people download it and just read it. And then 44,000 people actually want it in their hands. So they get it for free, but people want it in their hands and they're passing it around. So
they do. They want to read it, and then they do want to give it away. I've experienced that myself too. Mm. Well, we're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come, about the characters in the book and a little bit more about it. But I want to get back to David Cook now for just 1 second, and then we'll close it for today. First of all, I'm going to ask you a couple things. One, where now for David Cook? And two, how has this affected you and your relationship with the Lord? I know from talking to you that you've grown closer. I know that you've experienced things that you didn't ever expect to experience just as a result of the book, despite the career prior. But where are you now with the Lord? What's He doing with you? And where do you go from here?
I am fascinated by the continual stream that the Lord leads us down. And the cool thing in the Lord is that the adventure never ends. In life, if you win the world championships and you retire, you know, you're kind of done. You're put out to graze. There's, you know, you get that promotion and it just doesn't do it for you. I'm telling you what, when you walk with the Lord, the adventure never ends. So I am overwhelmed and humbled every day by God using my life and using the people around me and allowing me to be a part of their life and grow and learn from them as well in this amazing adventure. And so I'm just trying to spend time with my family, listen to the Lord as He wants me to write other things, to be a part of this movie. As an author, that usually doesn't get to happen, but to really help shepherd this movie so that it says the right thing. I'm taking a sabbatical from a lot of the coaching and things right now so that I can lead men, like here at Cherry Hills, speak to them about the important things of life, be with my family, be a part of this amazing adventure with the movie, and to see what the Lord might want to write through me as well. If this is the last book, I love the Lord, and that's great. And, you know, there's something else great in front of me. So what I'm learning is that God is never done with us, and that it's like a fireworks display. Each fireworks that goes off is better than the one before, and we know at the end there's this great crescendo the day we stand in front of Him.
Amen.
I can't wait.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Thanks for spending time with us.
You're welcome.
We'll do this again soon.
All right.
It's David Cook, Ken Watmore, 1615 TV, and Power Players Radio.